You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Good morning. Can you hear me? You can hear me. I feel like I have to say this. I was wrestling with Jesus, so we're going to take a minute because he's speaking something. This is very nerve-wracking when he asks me to do this. I'm like, come on, Lord, really? But I had a visual while we were in worship, and Josh gave us that word, that someone needs to see that the Lord is actually burying in the ground whatever you've been holding on to, whatever that agreement is, whether it's anxiety or fear or sickness or whatever, it is buried. And I just had this very clear visual of Jesus shoveling dirt on it as it's being buried in the ground. And then it's a little graphic, but I see his blood is what's covering the ground because that is what breaks the yoke. It's his blood. And so if you heard that prayer today and you thought, yeah, okay, that picture is what you need to leave with today, that Jesus is literally burying those agreements you've made in the ground, and they're covered in his blood. And you can dig them back up if you want to, but you don't have to. You can leave them there. Okay. That was a fun way to start a message. So we are talking this week. Josh started us last week on this conversation of thankfulness. And I know you're probably like, oh, it's November, thankfulness, duh. But what we saw last week and what we're going to continue with this week is that it's not so much a seasonal thing. Thankfulness is not something that we do. It's something that we are. It's something that we walk in. It's a posture, actually. That's what we learned last week. And that Josh did such an amazing job of showing us that we can walk in this posture of thanks even in the season when we feel like there's nothing, when we don't see hope, we don't know where we're going to get the next day's provision. We can still be in us, walk in a posture of thanks because it's who we are, not what we do. And this week, we're going to shift a little bit because this week I want to talk about what it looks like to walk in thankfulness when we see victory on the horizon. Because if you walk with Jesus, you don't stay forever in that place, in that valley, in that season of pain and suffering. He brings us through it. So we want to look at what does it mean to walk in a posture of thanks when I see victory on the horizon and I know it's coming. How do I continue in this posture of thanks? Now, I know you probably hear that and you might roll your eyes like, well, it's easy to be thankful when it's great. It's easy to be thankful when we're getting it the way we want to get it. We're going to challenge that today, that maybe victory is not what we think it is. Maybe triumph isn't what we sometimes define it as, which is going to help us shift what we're thanking God for. So, I'm Southern. Most of you know that about me. I'm an Army brat, which means I was all over the place, but my parents were both raised Southern, so that meant I was raised Southern. And we are very polite in the South. We're very polite. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And when we moved here 9 years ago, like, it took me a minute because we, as children, you say Mr., Miss. There's no such thing as calling an adult by their first name. But in the West, that's something that kids do. And so when I moved here 9 years ago, I was like, I'd hear kids calling adults by their name. I'm like, and then I realized, oh, it's just what they do in the West. So I'm like, it's okay. They're not being disrespectful because it's ingrained in me. And if you're deep in the trenches of the church in the South, there's your brother and sister. So I had a lot of brother and sister, whatever, in my life growing up. Yeah, you guys are looking at me like, what? Because you're out in the Wild West. You don't know what I'm talking about. But manners and thankfulness and all of that is part of, being polite and respectful. And it's a good thing. It's not bad. And we teach our children. We train our children. And we are trained to say thank you. When we receive a kindness or we receive a gift or we receive from someone, we are trained, and as we should, say thank you for whatever that is. And if our kids don't say thank you, right, we're like, okay, wait, we need to talk about this because you didn't say thank you. And there's nothing wrong with expressing with our words. In fact, it is part of thankfulness. We should use our words in that way. But as is with everything in life, when we say things a lot, sometimes I think they lose their meaning. We can say words and not really know the depth of what we're saying, right? We can say thank you when things go well. Like when the job works out, we get the job we want, or the house, or your football team wins, which isn't happening in Arizona, but, you know, that's okay. Sometimes they win. But when those things happen, what is our kind of first reaction? Thank you, God, right? Those are words that we'll say often. But I wonder if we really know what we're saying when we say, thank you, God. Do we really understand, or are we saying, thank you, God, when a victory comes in the way that we wanted it? Are we saying thank you when we're getting it? Oh, it's working out just as I planned. Thank you. Because we do that a lot, right? Today we're going to look at someone in Scripture that I think we can learn from when it comes to this idea that we can be thankful in any season. And that is Joshua, the mighty commander of Israel. He's a hero of the faith. We all know who Joshua is. He is the man who led Israel into the promised land. And the first stop on that journey was Jericho. And before we get to that story, I want to give us a little context of Joshua. So Joshua was a slave in Egypt. He came with the children of Israel from Egypt. So he knows slavery. He watched God do all these mighty things. He was there when the sea was parted, the cloud, the fire, all of it. He's been there. He's seen it. And we get an impression when we read about Joshua in those early days that he is your typical young man, fiery, passionate, freedom. I mean, that's Joshua, okay? And it's a good thing. He's full of faith. He never doubts. You see that Joshua consistently believes the word of the Lord. So it's a good thing. But this is Joshua. He is this great and victorious commander. Well, Moses, God says, send 12 spies to check out the land and check just to see it. And so he sends 12 spies. And those 12 spies come back with a report. And only two of them have faith and are willing to speak in faith. The other 10 go, yeah, that's not going to happen. I don't know how we could do that. Never mind that they've watched God do all this stuff that was impossible. They have no faith except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, being his fiery self, goes, we can take it. Look what God did back here. Why would this be something that he couldn't do? He can do it. Well, God has to discipline his children because he does that a lot with Israel because they are wayward. And so he tells the people of Israel, okay, you have so much lack of faith. This generation, you're going to just have to stay in the desert and you're going to have to wander in this wilderness. And when this generation dies, the next generation will take the promised land, except Joshua and Caleb. I'll let them live and go into the promised land because they believed. So here we have this guy who is this young, fiery warrior. He's never doubted God. He's full of faith. You know, he's like the guy that's like always raising his hand. I'll go. I'll do it. In case we all know somebody like that, you know, that's always like, yes, I'll do it. That's Joshua. And now he has to suffer for the sins of his people. He's forced to live for 40 years in the wilderness. He saw it across there. He saw what was coming. He saw the promised land. But because of the lack of faith of his people, he has to stay in this wilderness for 40 years. If anyone has an excuse to become complainy and grumbly and whiny and mad and angry, we would probably say Joshua has an excuse. It's not fair, right? This isn't fair. But that's not what we see. We see something in Joshua. He is consistently a man of faith. Joshua never wavers in his belief. Even as he wanders the desert for 40 years with his people, he never wavers in his belief. God is who he said he is. He will do what he said he will do. He believes it. So if there are ingredients for being a thankful person, I would say that Joshua possesses those ingredients. If there is a ingredient for postured thanksgiving, I would say that Joshua is that person. Fast forward. God told Moses, you're not taking them into the promised land. Joshua's going to take them. So Moses dies, and then Joshua becomes the commander of the people of Israel. And it's time. He has reached the moment. And all that stands between Israel and the promised land is a wall. It's a very high and a very thick wall. That's where our story starts. So we're going to be in Joshua 6, starting in verse 1. And this is what it says. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpet. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." Now, I noticed something about Joshua here. There's no delay in obedience. The moment he receives the word of the Lord, it says, so Joshua went. He went straight back to his people and he delivered the word exactly as God had given it. Another ingredient, I think, for thankfulness is to hear the word of the Lord and to know it and to believe it. And I wonder, are we always certain of the voice of the Lord? Because you cannot walk in a posture of thanks if you don't know the voice of God. If you don't know what he's saying to you, if you don't know the promise that he's given you, you can't walk in that posture. But Joshua knows. He knows the voice of God, and he knows that when God speaks, his word never returns void. Verse 8, it says, "When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, 'Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there." Now, this is a really beautiful moment because Israel is immediately obedient to the word of God. When God gave the word to Joshua, he went back to the people, said, "This is what God said. This is what we're doing." And they did it. He's very clear to his people, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voice. Do not say a word until the moment I tell you. All right, verse 15, it says, "On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Now, we know the rest of the story. If you don't, I will tell you, the wall falls. The trumpets are blown, they shout, and that wall comes tumbling down, which is an old song I know from Children's Church. And every time I hear about the story of Jericho, I know some of you know it, you're thinking it, Joshua, the wall of Jericho. Okay, anyway, I know that song well, so every time I hear about Joshua and Jericho, that's what I think of. Thank you, Children's Church. So this was a very strange mission. We see Joshua as this great commander of Israel, and he absolutely is. A pillar of faith, strong and mighty and fierce. But as I prepared for this today, I began to see this thread in Joshua's character that is really important for walking in a posture of thanks. And that is this: a posture of thanks is a posture of humility. Joshua walks in a posture of humility before the Lord. See, it's impossible to be arrogant and proud and humble at the same time. It's impossible to be arrogant and proud and truly walk in a posture of thanks. Pride is like a balloon. The more success you have, the better things get, the more you get puffed up. I think in the church, humility is often misunderstood. At least I used to misunderstand it. I used to think of humility as, you know, head down. Don't look at me. I'm just here, and I'm just so thankful to be here. And that's not at all what humility is. I have learned that is not humility. See, Joshua is here before us, God has called him on this very odd mission to capture Jericho, and he is very bold in his orders, very clear in articulating the word of the Lord. He goes with his men into battle, and he basically becomes a worship leader for 7 days. That is the mission that God gives Joshua, and he is quick to accept it. He does not question. See, a truly humble heart understands that it must take courageous action because it knows that God is the victor in every situation. By human standards, Joshua had the right to demand more. How dare God tell me to do something so foolish? You cannot break down walls with trumpets. If anyone had an excuse to argue, to become disgruntled, Joshua, he could have, but he doesn't. He walked in a posture of thanks before his God. And this is what I think it looked like. It looked like every morning for 40 years, walking outside of his tent, kneeling on the ground and collecting manna for that day. And as he collects it, saying, I thank you, God, that you are my provider. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today, you're my provider. I can thank you for this today. Because God provided manna every morning for 40 years for Israel. And he said, do not collect extra. I will provide every day what you need. And if they collected extra, it rotted. Because God's word does not return void. And so for 40 years, the fierce, young, ready to battle Joshua has to go outside his tent and kneel on his ground and pick up manna and thank God for that day's provision. For that day's manna. So what I think has happened in 40 years is that the fierce and mighty warrior has been tempered by humility. He has been tempered by the understanding that God is the provider. I am weak, but he is strong. See, Joshua knew before he marched around Jericho that the battle was already won and that it belonged to the Lord. He never boasted in his power. He boasted in his weakness. And the glory of God came. And God was known through the battle of Jericho because you can't tear down walls with trumpets. See, friend, your posture of thanks, it is developed in the valley. That's the place it's developed. We want to get to the good stuff and then be thankful. That's not how it works. Thankful posture is developed when you have to go outside your tent every morning and say, God, I thank you that you are my provider today. Here's the manna I need for today. That is where you develop the posture of thanksgiving, and that is where your heart is tempered by humility. When you are in the valley season and you're like, I cannot make it unless you provide for me. And you need that season so that when victory comes, your posture will be one of humility. Because here's the thing, friends, victory rarely looks like what we think it will look like. God's ways are the ways of eternity. He does not think as man thinks. He does not see as we see. And so victory comes in his way, and it rarely lines up with our ideas. Humility teaches us to look for him in everything. No matter what the circumstances in the moment, to look for the Lord because you believe that every battle is his and every victory is his. I went to see my counselor a couple weeks ago because I was feeling like overwhelmed and I had this like undercurrent of just anxiety. And I mean, counseling, I'm a huge proponent. You guys know that. I've shared about how I wouldn't even be up here if I hadn't gone through a journey of counseling. So I've learned that when I'm just feeling that whatever red flags, I go see her and I tell her what's going on. And I hadn't been in a year, so sometimes it's just catching up on life. And so I started just telling her all the things. Like, there's a lot of things that have happened in the past year. As I shared it all, I realized, no wonder I'm overwhelmed. And it was so good. And I got to the part about some of the things that have been going on in the past few months. And to be very vulnerable, I am in a moment in this season of victory. I know how to walk in the season of the valley. I've been there a lot in my life. I know God in my pain. Like, I am certain of Jesus in my pain. I don't question that anymore. I know his voice. I know he's my manna. I know he provides. But this whole mountaintop victory, the fruit of the promise, that's new for me. In so many ways, it's new. And so I was realizing as I was talking to my counselor, I'm like, I don't know how to process this. So 3 years ago, I wrote a book. I'm not selling this today. It's not a book pitch. There are no books out in the foyer, so you'll have to go online and buy yourself if you want it. But this is such an important part of what I'm talking about today. I wrote this book 3 years ago. It's called Abigail. Now, I wrote, this is my manna, because I wrote this in a season of deep brokenness. No one understood but Jesus. And I would come to him daily, and I would just write what the Spirit was speaking to me, because I was desperately in need of his provision. And this is what I had when I got done with that season. And I didn't know what to do with it, and I'm like, well, okay, I have this book. What do I do, Lord? And so I waited, and until I felt like I knew, and I tried a couple doors that almost opened, and then God, like, slammed them shut. It was very much God slamming them shut. And so then I'm like, well, okay, I don't know what we're doing. I'm just going to wait until I know. Because I've learned to wait on the Lord and let him do it in his way and his timing. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to wait. And in that waiting time, I would go to my journal. You guys know how much I'm very passionate about that. And so I would go and I would write my heart, pour my heart out of what I saw this being. Like, Lord, I know this is going to reach broken women or broken people, and it's going to give hope because it gave me hope. And I would write that, and then the Lord would speak, and he would give me words, and he would give me promises, and I have written them down. I've got 3 years worth of moments when I wrote down the promise of God. This is what's going to come from this. Your sacrifice in this season of obedience to write this, as you were hurting, it's going to bring fruit. And I have these very specific words. So Abigail came out in August, so it's been about 3 months now. And, you know, she comes out in a couple weeks, and it's great. And then reviews start coming in, and I start getting texts, or I see some of you who've read it at church. And people start responding, and I don't mean a foreshadowing. I mean people start saying the exact words that are written in my journal. And so I'm, like, going, and I'm getting my journal. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she said the same exact thing that you said would happen, Jesus. That's like what they said. You're fulfilling the promise. But what's been happening in my life in the past couple months since that is the more that it's happened, the more I've, like, shrunk, because I've felt like, In those first couple weeks, I'd get the big, huge, you know, compliment or whatever, and I'm like, thanks, Jesus, it's not me. Like, I didn't know how to respond to the bigness of it. And so the Lord has shown me in that process as I've been going along that I was just feeling that anxiety build up. And so as I'm telling my counselor all of this, and I'm like, and I feel like I just want to shrink back. I don't know what to do. And she said, well, Shannon, she said something so beautiful. She said, the bigger and more victorious our life becomes, the smaller we feel. And she said, that's a gift. And that's a gift you can only find in humility. And I'm like, yes, I feel so small. But it was such a relief to realize that's it. It's like, that's what's happening. God is fulfilling his promise. I am walking in victory, and I feel the smallness of myself because I am so certain of Jesus. I am so certain that every single person who speaks to me and says, this gave me hope, I am so certain it's Jesus. And I feel small. And when I left her office, the Lord is good and kind, and he always gives me pictures to help me understand things. And he showed me and said, Shannon, you're so small that you fit in my palm. You're right there. So you're not so small that you're, like, out there and I can't see you. You're right here. I'm holding you close. And that gave me such peace because I realized it's a gift that I can only find in humility. And that was important to me because I'll be vulnerable with you. I come from a legacy of preachers who were proud and arrogant, and their ministries were destroyed by it. And so I have feared. That has been the thing the Lord has had to work on in me. As he began calling me into things like this, I was like, no one's ever done it right, Lord. I come from a legacy of people who don't know how to do it, and I don't want to mess up. I don't want to be like that. And he says, trust me. Trust me. I'm your provider. I'm your manna. Trust me. And so for my counselor to recognize that in me and go, that's humility. It was a gift. And I realized, okay, I learned something through that. After I left her office and I let that all settle, I learned that the language I used in the valley season is the same language I use on the mountain. Our language of thanksgiving and our posture, it doesn't change from the valley to the mountain. It's the same because when I'm in the valley and I need provision, God is my provider and I thank him. When I get to the mountain and the provision has come, God is my provider and I thank him. Because I know the battle belongs to the Lord. See, I walked away from that moment and I have realized that I can be bold in the victory and that can come from humility. And that's exactly what Joshua does. He is bold in his faith and in declaring the word of the Lord because he knows the word of the Lord does not return void. See, when your posture is thanks and the victory comes, humility will automatically cause you to declare boldly, the battle belongs to the Lord. A few things that I think a thankful heart understands even before victory comes. So if you are not in a season of victory, or you're like, I'm still here, but I see it. There's the wall. I know it's on the other side. Regardless of where you're at, there's a few things that a thankful heart understands. It understands that your weakness is your weapon. Joshua understood this after 40 years of being in a place where there was no food. They had nothing, and knowing that every morning God was going to provide, he learned, my weakness is my weapon. It's never me, it's God. See, we often think that when we're in that valley season that we're being plowed so that we will be strong. It's the opposite. We are being plowed so that our weakness can be fully displayed and God can come in all of his strength and fill us. The valley season is not to make you strong, it is to make Jesus stronger in you. A thankful heart understands that the victory is already won. A thankful heart understands that the word of the Lord has spoken, and what he speaks never returns void. And so what he promised me, it is true. And so I'm not walking towards victory. I'm already in it. It's just a matter of time. And another thing that I think a thankful heart understands is that victory will probably not look like you think it will. And that's okay. It's okay that we're developing our own ideas. I had lots of ideas for Abigail along the way. I wouldn't change a thing about how God's done it. And he never was frustrated with me for coming up with my own ways of making this happen or this is what we could do. He was never angry with me over that. He just said, trust me. And so I would think up my ways of victory and then I would go, okay, Lord, I trust you. It's your way, your time. And I don't regret it at all because I have allowed him to be known through my victory. It's not me, it's him. It's not you, it's Jesus. A thankful heart knows that victory isn't going to look like you might think it will look. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. I really love that in this story that we have a visual because these, you know, the Israelites, they go to march and they take their trumpets. And they carry their trumpets and they circle the city and we know the story 7 days and on the seventh day. And I love that the posture we see when they are about to declare victory is a trumpet lifted. It's not a sword, not a spear, it's a trumpet. And when it's time to take their victory, they blow those trumpets. And I think that's important because I think no matter what season you're in, whether you are in a season of trial and hurt and suffering, and you're not sure where your manna's coming from tomorrow, you can still have your trumpet lifted. And you can still declare the battle belongs to the Lord. And if you're in a season where the promise has been fulfilled, victory is now yours, you can hold your trumpet up and you can just blow louder and say with even more confidence, the victory belongs to the Lord. Because a thankful heart understands that the battle and the victory belong to the Lord. A posture of thanks is a posture of humility. And my question for you today, as we go into this season where we're a little more conscious of thankfulness and we talk about it a little more, my challenge and my question for you is, are you walking in a posture of humility before your God? God can do much with a humble heart. He can do mighty things through the humble. No one illustrates that better than Jesus. If anyone had an excuse, if anyone was justified in claiming his place and declaring himself and not humbling himself, it would be Jesus. Yet he humbled himself before us, the created. And look what God did because of his choice to walk in humility. God can do much with a heart that is postured in humility. And when you are postured in humility, your thanks will just flow out of it. Because you will recognize daily as you come out of your tent and you see your manna provided, you will recognize and remember, God is my provider. The battle is his, not mine. I invite you to stand. I want to pray over us as we go into this season of holidays and busyness and whatever that looks like, that whatever season that you're in, whether you are in that valley or you're climbing the mountain, that you would remember in all of it that Jesus is your manna. He is everything you need. He is your provider. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you are so kind and so merciful and so good to us that even when we wander and we doubt and we're confused and we grumble, you still come to us in kindness and you still provide manna. It's always available because you are the manna that we need, Jesus. And so I pray for my friends today, those who are in a season of hurt, they're going into the holidays and they're like, I just want to get through it. I don't really want to celebrate. God, I pray that you would so clearly reveal to them that you are with them in this season and that they would posture themselves to receive you as their manna daily, not worrying about tomorrow or the next day or next month, today, that they would let you be manna for them today. And those who are coming out of a season of lacking, feeling like the hope was fading, that they're now coming into victory, I pray that they would boldly declare so that those around them would see and know, surely the Lord has done this thing. Surely this is a battle that has been won by the Lord, because you can't drop a wall with trumpets. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that we can walk in this posture, not because we have that power in our own natural selves, but because you come and you fill us and you teach us your ways and you show us how to walk in a posture of thanks and humility, and you will do much with a thankful heart. In Jesus' name I pray.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.